I've been working with entrepreneurs who are seriously working their ass off, working from early in the morning till late at night, and they don't stop, and they want to make the money, and they feel like that if you don't work all the time, you're not going to create the business or the revenue that you want. You got into this entrepreneur thing because you want to create financial freedom, but you also want to create life freedom. I get it. You need to go to cashflowtoceo.com. I teach simple and proven strategies that work. How to create a rock solid client attraction formula that brings in quality leads. How to provide value the smart way so you can turn cold leads into paying clients faster. I help you learn what kind of value you need to give. How to price your products. How to be confident in selling your products. If this sounds like something that can help you, go to cashflowtoceo.com or click the link in the show notes. I'll see you there. There are millions of women in business that are crushing it. And I mean, seriously crushing it. Some who you know and many who you've never even heard of. They're going to share how they did it so you can figure out how you can do it too. But here's the deal. It's not just about sales and selling. So I'm going to be bringing you the woo too. Get ready, get set, because it's almost go time for Women Crush Wednesday. Diehards, I am so excited because today we have an amazing guest. Her name is Jennifer Jade. She's an international best-selling author, a speaker, a soul-aligned success coach for women ready to live their most inspired, authentic, and soul-driven lives. She's also the host of the Soul Adventurer podcast, which has ranked top 20 on Apple Podcasts in Canada in the popular self-help category. Jennifer is crushing it in freeing others to live their most soul-aligned life successfully and abundantly. I want to dig into your story and how you got to where you are. You were a full-time commission-based mortgage broker before you turned 22.
Mm-hmm.
Were you always like this incredibly high achiever?
Yes, I would say so. You know, and I think we have that in common. I started my first business at, I don't even know if I was 5 years old yet. I'm not even sure if I had started school. It was my lemonade stand.
Okay, so we're literally like the same person. Keep going.
Yeah. And then I thought, you know what's better than lemonade? Kool-Aid. So then it was Kool-Aid. And I was like, you know what's better than Kool-Aid? Handmade greeting cards. And so I enlisted my first employee. She was a friend from daycare. And we started. So yeah, that was always there. At the time, I didn't know where it came from, even into high school. I was holding myself to a standard of straight A's, principal list, playing on 2 to 3 different soccer teams, working my first job, my first legitimate job, the second I was legal to work in Canada. I'm Canadian, and working 24 hours a week at the same time. And I remember questioning myself and being like, why am I doing this to myself? Because there wasn't anyone. You know, my mom and my dad were not strict. They were not like, you better bring home those straight A's and you better be this, you know, all-star soccer. None of that. So I did find it a bit weird at the time, but not enough to stop. And so I kept going all through high school. I was very ambitious. I was upset when I was 16 and I didn't know what I was going to do with the rest of my life. And so it's definitely been a pattern.
Wow. Okay. So then you left the business after making 6 figures. And I think you were what, 26?
Yes. Yes. So I spent a total of 10 years in finance. I started when I was 18 and in a different area of finance. And then I moved into mortgages when I was 21. And I stayed until, actually, I think I fully transitioned out at 28.
Wow. And so what was that like? I mean, you have this a reliable and good income. What was that like making the decision to leave?
Oh my goodness, Jen. I was terrified to be a 100% commission-based mortgage broker. I had a mortgage at the time. My boss at my first finance job had really encouraged me to purchase my first condo at 20 years old. So I had a mortgage, I had bills, I had debt, and to have zero base income, not even minimum wage, no medical benefits, nothing, to go into that was terrifying. And then have to put myself out there at 22 years old and go to these real estate meetings, which, you know, they were predominantly made up of older, like kind of middle-aged men in my town where I lived. I felt completely out of place, a fish out of water. And then I got to this place where now, you know, the tracks were going, the steam engine was going, and now I've earned the trust of many realtors in my town. I'm getting all these referral clients. I'm getting repeat clients, repeat business now. You know, life, I could almost coast if I wanted to at this point in my business. And that's when I had this tap on the shoulder that it was time to move on. That was, I would say, when I look back on my life, one of the scariest things that I have ever moved through ever was deciding to leave and transition to something new.
This quote unquote tap on the shoulder. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Mm-hmm. So I had this growing feeling inside that something was missing. I feel like this is a common feeling. I don't think I'm the only one, especially now in the work that I do. Something was missing. And I thought, you know, maybe if I just create a little bit more money and a little bit more success, you know, maybe I just need to reach that next level and then I'll feel like, oh yeah, you know, I've made it and I'm happy and I'm successful. But no matter how much my income increased, no matter how much more money I was making, the feeling of fulfillment was never filled. It was like this balloon that was losing air with every day, every year that continued to pass by. So I didn't know what I was going to do. Honestly, I thought maybe I'll just kind of double down, work extra hard, harder than I already am, and I could retire early. You know, maybe that's my plan. I didn't really know. I felt stuck. I felt depleted, defeated, because this is not the way I thought I was going to felt ever after working so hard my whole life. And then I did have a wake-up call. I did have a wake-up call that created the urgency to actually make a transition in my life.
What was it?
There was this moment where I received a phone call from my mom.
Oh, it was literally a call.
Oh, it was literally a phone call.
Okay.
And she gave me some news. And I remember walking from the dining room through the kitchen into the living room where my husband was sitting. And I was trying to say the words to him, but I actually dropped to my knees and I started crying. That was the first and only time I've ever physically been dropped to my knees. I had been given the news that a family member of mine that had been like an older brother to me, I don't have any older siblings, would be passing away within the next 6 to 12 months. Mm. And he had two little girls that were aged 6 and 8 years old. And I was just devastated for all of them, for my family member, for his two daughters, for his wife. And just, oh my goodness, I had never had a moment like that before. So he did pass away of a terminal illness about 10 or 11 months later. And after I moved through my grieving process, I realized that my whole plan to just double down and work really hard and retire early, maybe I can hit that Freedom 55 club, you know, maybe wasn't such a good plan. Mm-hmm. Because maybe I'm not going to make it to 55, you know? So that was when I made the decision to go after my childhood dream, the thing that I knew that I wanted, but I was always too afraid to go after.
What was it?
Well, Jen, I wanted to travel the world and take pictures for a living. That's what I wanted to do. As a kid, I always had a camera in my hand. We ended up moving into this house that a photographer used to live in. There was a portrait studio. I learned how to develop black and white photos. At 18 years old, when I realized from a speaker that came into a class in my 12th grade, she said, "What would you be doing if you never had to worry about time and money again?" And I was like, "Oh, I'd be taking pictures." Mm. And then I was like, "Oh my goodness, I'm going to be a photographer. I'm going to be a photographer." And a friend said to me, "Well, have fun being broke for the rest of your life." Ooh. And it was just like, stab in the chest. And it was, that was everything that I don't want. You know, right. I'd seen that growing up. I had worked my butt off for my whole life up until then to run away from that and to think, oh yeah, right. A photographer is a starving artist. That's not what I want to be. That's not how I want to spend my life. So that's when I went into finance. Anyway, fast forward to, you know, this life event, this wake up call. I realized that I feared something greater than failure and running out of money. And that was regret on my deathbed.
Wow. So it's easier to take action when regret or the fear of regret is bigger than the fear of failure.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. As soon as I figured that out, if I could fast forward my life and just look back on my life from my deathbed, say I'm 100 years old, you know, hopefully I'm old and I've lived a great life. If I were to reflect back on my life, and I encourage anyone listening to do the same, what are the things that I would regret not having even tried? Because mm-hmm. I realized with all this talk of being a starving artist and what if you fail? What if you run out of money? I had been in the mortgage industry, so I'm thinking foreclosure, losing my house, you know, all of these things that I was deathly terrified of from my childhood. What would be more painful than trying and failing? Because here's the thing, if you quote unquote fail, you can always make more money. You can find another job, another path. You can dig your way out of that and you can climb back on top. But when you get to the end of your life and you've run out of time, I personally would rather know that at least I tried, even if I failed, than to never know what could have been.
Hey, everybody, this is Gina Tremarco
and Rachel Tipton,
and we are
Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the new podcast that does what?
Makes sales sexy again.
What's this podcast about, Rachel?
It's a blend of best business practices and real life hacks, and it's filled with laughter, random chatter, practical advice, and some serious stuff.
It's not just for women, though, right?
No, it's a blend of best business practices and real life hacks for men and for women.
Listen to us on the Sell or Die Network,
womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com.
Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, and anywhere that you can find podcasts. And
be sure to subscribe, comment, share our podcast, and give us a review. Tune in and listen to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes sales sexy again.
You've been warned.
But okay, so do you think people, when they hear your story, could be saying, well, Jen, it's easy for you to say that because you made it. Like, you did whatever you felt you needed to do to go from, you know, kid to really successful kid and young adult, right, to the point where you said you owned this condo at age 20. I mean, how many 20-year-olds can say they own their own home? Okay, so you reached this point of massive success.
Yeah.
And so it's easier for you to try.
Yeah.
And they're thinking it's harder for them.
Yeah. So I have never actually felt this might come as a surprise or hard to understand. With what I had achieved by the time I was 25, 28 years old. So I had purchased my condo at 20 at the encouragement of my boss / mentor at the time. I was terrified of doing that, terrified to do that. But by the time I was 23, I purchased a house with my husband. You know, by 25, I had ticked off all the boxes that I thought would make me feel successful and happy and worthy and unstoppable and on fire and all these things. And even though on paper, I had these boxes checked and I had accomplished these things, I have always had a really weak sense, you know, and I'll totally admit this, weak sense of self-belief and self-worth. I actually think that's why I was always looking to achieve, because I was trying to fill this bottomless pit, this void that no matter what I did and how hard I worked, I never actually did feel confident and unstoppable and I can do anything. And, you know, that's actually the opposite of how I felt. So I actually believed that I would fail as a photographer, but I needed to know firsthand. Needed to know firsthand. So my plan was give it a shot. I gave myself 12 months. And this is what I'll tell my clients as well. I'll say, listen, I know you don't have a lot of confidence in moving into this new career, this new path or business that feels more aligned for you and for your soul, because that's what I help people with now, is finding what that is for them. I know you don't have the self-belief yet. You don't have the confidence yet. And you have ego, all this inner critic, self-doubt, inner bully coming, telling you you'll never amount to anything. No one's ever going to pay you. These are all everything that I was bombarded with when I was transitioning. There was nothing like, oh yeah, Jen, you can do anything. Look how successful you are. It was the total opposite.
Yeah.
It was like, there's so many other people who are so much better than you. Like just really crippling inner self-talk is what I've always had my whole life. And it is completely normal. At least it is for me.
Oh, it's totally normal.
Yes. So, what I had to do was just decide, Jen, give yourself 12 months. This is the part that I tell my clients, give yourself, ask your spouse or, you know, talk about it with your spouse. If you have one, just say, listen, I don't know if I'm going to succeed at this. I don't know if this is going to work. In fact, I am almost convinced that it's not going to work, but something inside of me is saying, I have to try. I have to find out. I don't want to get to my deathbed and just regret that I didn't even see what was possible. So you can give yourself a timeline if you want. And then if you fail, this is what I said to my husband, give me 12 months as a photographer. Let me see what I can do. If after 12 months I'm tanking, we split the bills 50-50. If I'm not paying my half the bills by 12 months from now, so on and so forth, that's it. I will go back to finance. I will go back to being a mortgage broker. And if that job's taken, then I'll go work at a bank. And if that's job taken, I will find a way. I'll find my way back and I'll climb my way. You know, I'll figure it out. As Marie Forleo says, everything's always figure outable. So he was amazingly supportive. Of course, our spouses want to see us happy. I'm sure he was nervous, but I think he was also excited at the same time. So to answer your question, Jen, for anyone that's thinking, oh, well, look at her, you know, she was always driven and she achieved at young age and so on. It wasn't because I had confidence and high self-worth, and it was actually quite the opposite. It was because I lacked it. I very much lacked it. And if you are hearing those voices of, I can't do that, you know, that's not possible for me. That's possible for people who are more talented, more educated, more experienced. These are all the things that I hear. Even to this day, I still hear those things. But the difference is between someone who stays stuck and unhappy and unfulfilled, as I was feeling towards the end of my mortgage broker career, and someone who feels aligned and on fire and unstoppable and excited and enthusiastic and passionate about their life, is they will hear that voice, they will feel that fear, and they will take a step forward anyway. That's the only difference.
So I just want to say thank you, because most people are not willing to admit those voices in their head, and they're not willing to admit all of those things you were so open about. So thank you for sharing that.
My pleasure.
I know I'm not the only one who's dying to know, did the photography thing work out?
This is my little secret to success, Jen. Find someone who is already successful at what you want to do and hire them and learn everything you possibly can from them and use that as your momentum for getting started. So yes, it was successful. I hired mentors. I worked with some of the top 10 wedding photographers in the world. I would fly to Europe, to the Caribbean, to wherever I needed to go. I went down to California and did a workshop with Jasmine Starr. Some people are familiar with Jasmine Starr.
I love her.
Yeah, did a workshop with her for one full day. I just said, you know what? The shortest distance between me and where I want to be is finding someone who's already done it, learning as much as I can, condensing my learning curve, and hitting the ground running. So that's exactly what I did. And within 3 years of starting my business, I was being flown all over the world to shoot weddings. I think the furthest was Australia. That was also one of my favorite places. Lots in the Caribbean, of course, for the destination weddings. I started winning awards, being published in magazines. And then after 3 years, I started getting the tap on the shoulder again.
Okay, wait, what is this tap on the shoulder? Explain it.
So I have to say, so for anyone that would ever say, I feel stuck, that's a tap on the shoulder.
Okay.
I feel stuck. I feel like there's something more I'm meant to be doing. I feel like I'm just kind of missing the mark. You know, there's something not quite clicking into place where my happiness, my joy, my fulfillment, you know, is involved. It's that sinking feeling like, I don't know if I've quite clicked into my path where I feel on fire and aligned and on purpose and unstoppable and passionate, excited to wake up every morning. So if you've ever described yourself as feeling stuck or I remember asking myself, Jen, is this as good as it gets?
Wow.
I think that was a really main question. Is this as good as it gets? Because I guess I just need to like really get working on my gratitude journal because, you know, something is missing.
So, okay. You start out in finance, rise to the top of the career there, do the same thing in photography, and both times you realize that there's more. Mm-hmm. How do you find out what that more is? I'm assuming that more is maybe your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you determine what your purpose is then?
Oh, wow. Great question. Well, I never used the word purpose when I became a mortgage broker. I was just looking to be successful. And I thought when I'm successful in the traditional sense, I will be happy, you know. Okay. Then I realized that being successful in the traditional sense doesn't actually make me feel fulfilled. And I don't actually love learning and talking about mortgages and interest rates and all that. Personally, it's just not for me. So I thought, okay, well, what could I do that I would love learning more about and talking about and teaching about and getting better at? Oh, well, of course, that would be photography. So one clue could be, was there something that you did want to do when you were younger or something that has been on your mind, but you've been batting it away with, oh, but that's not possible for me, or, oh, I'll be a starving artist, or I'll get my house foreclosed on, or my wife will be upset, or my husband or whoever, all things that I've heard and would even keep me up at night. I didn't start using the word purpose until I was a photographer. And when I got that tap on the shoulder, we keep talking about 3 years in, I had a very hard time with this, Jen, because you're right. I looked around at my life. I was living with a very loving, supportive husband. We're still together. I had the condo, the house, had a little sports car. You know, I was successful in the traditional sense at something I love doing. I was being paid to travel the world and take photos. Like, isn't that what you wanted, Jen? Isn't that everything that you ever wanted? And so for 18 months, and I hope I can save someone listening from tormenting themselves and living with the pain that I did for 18 months, which is, what is wrong with you?
Oh.
What is wrong with you that this is not enough for you? How greedy are you? How shallow? How ungrateful are you? Oh, that was the one. How ungrateful of you.
So it was like you were shaming yourself.
Oh, yeah. For a year and a half. And I got increasingly unhappy, increasingly just less interested in taking care of myself, in being social. And eventually, 18 months in, I started feeling like, wow, I think there's something medically wrong with me, because I was sleeping more and more and more and more. And this one particular day that was a bit of my wake-up call, I had slept for 10 hours right through the night. And then I got up, did a little bit of journaling, and I fell asleep on the couch where I was journaling for another 2 to 3 hours. And I thought, holy crap, there's something medically wrong with me. Maybe it's my thyroid. Maybe that's in my family. Maybe there's something actually medically wrong. As I was just about, like, around this time, I was like, holy crap, I need to call a doctor. I need to get some blood work done. There's something wrong here. I hope it's thyroid and not anything worse. The universe brought me, you know, I really believe in these synchronicities, especially when you ask for help, even just silently to yourself, instead of a doctor, a life coach. And he was referred by a friend. I wasn't really familiar with coaching and coaching industry. It was kind of new to me at the time. This is 2015, spring of 2015. And within the first call with him, James, unfortunately, he's not with us anymore, but he was an extraordinary human being. I started to feel my energy coming back more and more and more. And after 6 months, you know, getting to the point of the purpose, I realized that indeed what was missing. I loved taking photos. I loved traveling, but it was all I love traveling. I love taking pictures. I love being part of people's wedding days. I enjoy it. I love dancing. I love the good food. I love being involved. What was missing was I wanted to be of service in a meaningful way in other people's lives. That's what was missing for me. And that's when this word purpose started coming into the conversation. And, I realized that as much fun as I was having as a photographer, I didn't feel like I was making a meaningful impact. Maybe I was, and maybe clients would say differently, but not at the level that I was now feeling. I was craving that. I wanted to help others. I wanted to serve others. I wanted to help empower and uplift others. And what's funny is I did have this thought, Jen, the first summer as a wedding photographer, when I was just on cloud nine, it was my first full-time summer as a wedding photographer. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is everything I ever wanted as a little girl. And now it's here and I'm living this, and I could pinch myself. And this little voice came forward and said, the only thing that could be better than this would be showing other people how they could do the same. And then I was like, what? What was that? I have to work on my photography business. And I shoved that thought back for 3 years. And I think what was happening at the end of these 3 years was that thought was like, okay, now it's time for you to pay attention.
So do you think other people get these thoughts and they also shove them away?
Yes.
And how do you bring them back? Like, how do you find them? So you hired a life coach. Do people need to hire a coach to find their purpose, or is there something they could do right now to identify it?
Yes. My search with purpose and my experience with purpose now has evolved since 2015. And I'm very much now aligned with, and this is what I mentioned in the Awakening book there as well, is that our ultimate purpose, that's right.
It's
give
the
me
book.
A, there it is. Okay, so hear me out when I say this, because the first time I heard this, I was like, oh, please. And, you know, eye roll. Our ultimate purpose, And I'm going to tell everyone listening right now exactly what your purpose is. You don't have to search for it. You don't have to hire a life coach. Our ultimate purpose is joy. That is the ultimate purpose. And the first time I heard that, I was like, nope, no way. Okay. If joy is the ultimate purpose, I'm going to sit on my couch and watch Netflix and eat chocolate for the rest of my life. That's joy. And I gave it some thought, and then I'm like, you know what? It actually really isn't joy. Maybe it's instant gratification. You know, maybe it's self-indulgence. Maybe it's even happiness or temporary happiness, but it's not joy. Joy is that feeling in your chest, in your heart. You know, when you have, for me, you know, maybe I won't assume this is the same for everybody, but when someone tells me that I have very much helped them in some way, or I have been a great, of great service to them, or I've made them laugh, or I've made them smile, or I've brightened their day. And that feeling you just get, like, it's better than eating a chocolate bar. It's better than, you know, those, it's different. It's this fulfilling, oh man, like this amazing feeling. To me, that is joy. And if we made joy our priority, it would not mean being lazy. It would not mean giving up on your dreams. It would not mean not working hard. It would not mean, you know, not setting intentions and goals. In fact, quite the opposite. Your joy is what calls you to step into the unknown, to leave that job that is not fulfilling, to leave now the business that is not fulfilling, and to keep going. It's making joy the priority. And in doing so, it will call you to be the very best version of you.
Okay. Have you always been, a lot of this stuff you're saying is very spiritual in a sense. You've talked about the tap on the shoulder. You've talked about the universe talking to you. Do you think we all have that spirituality inside of us?
So my belief is, first of all, I have my own set of beliefs, the things that resonate with me as truth, and I would never push them on anyone else. So if anyone has differing beliefs, that's all good and amazing, and we're all entitled to our own beliefs. What I believe is that we are essentially souls. We're spiritual beings that, you know, you could call us the, we're made in the image of God, or we're a piece of the universe of infinite intelligence, whatever verbiage you want to use and what you believe in. I believe that's ultimately what we are. At the end of the day, in the grand scheme of things, that's what we are. And we chose to inhabit a human 3D body so that we could experience human 3D emotions and contrast, ups and downs, dark and light, good and bad, wins and losses, and all the colors in between that we can't experience when we're in full spiritual form. And so, yes, I believe that is every single being on this planet, including plants, animals, you know, every living thing. Is everyone interested in exploring the spiritual side of themselves? No. Is everyone completely connected with that? No. But I do believe all of us are connected. I use it the word intuition. You know, mm-hmm. it's a word that's easy to understand. To me, intuition is the connection that we have to our spiritual selves. So, you know, you could call it, it's our connection to God, our connection to the universe, our connection to our higher self. But it's kind of like the information superhighway where we can receive downloads for guidance from that higher spiritual place. And the easiest way to listen to that guidance or to know if you're in alignment with it is joy. So with any decision you ever make in your life, is this moving closer to joy or further away from it? That's all you need to ask. and you will feel it. You know, if I say yes to this job or this promotion or working with this client or starting this business or conducting my sales in this way, does that feel good? Is that bringing me closer to joy or further away? And that's how you know when you're in alignment with your purpose and with your soul.
Wow. So I'm sure we can all think about the time where we took on that job that just was like soul crushing and you hated your boss and you hated everything around us, around it. How could you have determined prior that it wouldn't bring you joy? Or is that something you just have to keep asking yourself?
You know, it's that feeling of, you know, how many times in our lives have we said, I knew I shouldn't have taken that job.
Yes.
I knew I shouldn't have dated that guy. I knew it. I knew it.
Yeah.
So we all have a sense of knowing. I do have a actual exercise. Is it okay? It just
Takes
me a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Here's how you can really tune in to what is a good idea for you or a good choice or decision for you or not. You can even ask, is this a good client for me or not? Is this a good direction for my business or not? So what you would do is you would find somewhere nice and quiet to sit and you would close your eyes and you would take a couple of breaths. In fact, if it's safe for everyone listening, if you're not driving your car, watching an infant, we could do it right now. So just take in a couple of deep breaths. And now, keeping your eyes closed, if it's safe for you to do so, ask yourself a yes or no question where you know the answer is yes. So for example, I would ask myself, is my name Jen? And I want you to pay attention to what you feel in your body. It will be very subtle, but notice what you feel. It would be instantaneous. So right away, we can move now to the next question. Same idea. You're going to ask yourself a yes or no question where you know the answer is no this time and pay attention to how that feels in your body. So for example, is my name Thomas? And it will be very instantaneous again. So you can open your eyes when you're ready. Did you notice anything, Jen, at all? Did you have any sense? I know you're in the middle of hosting.
Yeah. No, I did. I did this with you. It was like nice to take a long, deep breath. I felt a difference between, and I actually used the same question, is my name Jen, for the yes one. And I felt a difference between that and my no question, for sure. It was just this inner feeling.
Yes. You pointed to your chest area.
Yeah, it was like I felt it in my chest. I felt it with my breath. I felt it going into my stomach. I just felt it differently than when I felt the no version.
Yeah. Yes. So there's no right or wrong answer for this. Everyone listening, if you had a different sensation, or you could practice this when you're done listening to the episode, people will feel it differently in different areas of their bodies. I'm quite similar to you, Jen. I don't know how to describe it, but, you know, I kind of picture a flower when the answer is yes. It almost feels like it's opening up and blossoming. And it's like, just a gentle, nice yes, kind of a very, that feels good. When it's a no, when it's a false or a no, it almost feels like the flower is like wanting to shut back up, like shut in and or even wilt or something that, and I feel it in my chest area. That's how it feels for me. But again, I really encourage everyone to do this on their own and see what that sense is for them. So now you can ask questions. It's, you know, the most basic way to do this is in a yes or no sense, just as we practiced. And you can ask for guidance. We know, say it's from God or from the universe or your higher self or whatever you believe in, ask for guidance. You know, should I go on a date with this guy? You know, is it in my highest and best interest to start this business or to pivot in this direction? you know, whatever question is coming up for you in the most basic sense in a yes or no way. Of course, we could get more involved and more intricate where you can actually receive guidance. I teach about the four main intuitive languages. If you want to start getting advanced, you know, and receiving more than just yes or no guidance, as I can teach people how to do that. But, you know, this is a great way to get started. Is this bringing me closer to joy or further away from joy? Or, you know, asking yourself in a yes or no sense and seeing how it feels and sits in your body.
Wow, that's incredible. And I felt the difference right away, because not only did I feel it in my chest, but when I asked myself the no question, I actually felt my back, like not in pain, but closing, like tensing up. And it's interesting because when I'm stressed, my back hurts. And so like the correlation just was so significant for me, like, ooh, and it wasn't even a deep question that I asked myself, you know, and I could immediately feel it on my shoulder, like weighing on my shoulders. That's the best way to describe it.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow, that is so cool. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, I'm happy to.
All right, guys, Jen's book, it's called The Awakening, and it's a guide to spiritually awaken your highest self, intuitive connection, and deepest purpose. I'm reading it. It's amazing. We're going to link to it in the show notes. You should all get yourself a copy, and it's already an Amazon bestseller, right?
I'm so thrilled. It took me about 2 years to birth this book into the world, not because there was a shortage of what to say, but just again, you know, going back to the beginning of this episode, facing my own resistance, facing my own self-doubts, facing my own, oh, who's going to care? Who's going to read this? People have already heard this before. So like, just, I live with that inner critic, that inner bully every day, especially when I'm doing something I've never done before. And so, yeah, it took me 2 years, but it's here. As always, the inner critic, the inner bully was wrong. It became a bestseller on Amazon right away. And it has actually won top five in the International Book Awards. We just got notification of that last week.
Wow.
So, doing well. I'm getting great feedback. I'm hearing that it's an easy read. You can gather these great, powerful concepts and really understand how to use them in practical ways in your everyday life and business.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.